Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
So this week I'm going to discuss all the theater stuff I saw that did not have anything to do with specific shows, per se, though I will have one of those to review as well. But my week was filled with Broadway lore via a documentary, a public television offering, and listening to one of the greatest dames to ever grace a stage. Starting at the top, a new documentary called On Broadway was a sold-out event at the city's New York Documentary Festival. Now, this one comes from Oren Jacoby, who has made terrific and completely eclectic films, including one about Italians harboring Jews during World War II, another about a fascinating, if relatively unknown, New York artist. But Jacoby has always loved the theater and, in fact, wrote an adaptation of Ralph Ellison's Invisible Man, a brave move by a white man, I might add. This doc is a dual narrative, really. It's about the comeback of a dismally and dying Broadway in the 70s, and the much-necessary cleanup of Times Square. Now, some may think it went too Disney-fied, but thanks to Simba and Pals, it is at least now a place where families can walk after dark. The goal of the documentary, Jacoby said before the screening, is to appeal to those who go to Broadway all the time and those who aren't from New York. Both groups will recognize the shows and virtually save the business at key times. Chorus Line, Cats, Rent, as well as important figures like Michael Bennett, Joe Papp, and Andrew Lloyd Webber. And those behind the scenes, names like Niederlander and Schubert, who truly rescued a potentially dying industry. Broadway was part of the fabric of the city I grew up in, said Jacoby, and it has become more a reflection of the society we live in now. Well, his film definitely captures that diversity as it moves along. This one is history and entertainment, and I would not be surprised to see it air on PBS, for example. Speaking of which, the public television network's stations seem to be open to spreading the joys of the world of theater, somewhat like a national traveling company, appealing to viewers who may never go to a Broadway show. The network's Great Performances series has been presenting plays filmed live, including The King and I with Kelly O'Hara, and a production of 42nd Street. Still to come are Red, a drama about the artist Mark Rothko, Kinky Boots, and the one that excites me most, last summer's Much Ado About Nothing, the primarily black version that thrilled audiences in Central Park. There's even been talk of moving it to Broadway, so consider this Great Performances a sneak preview. The idea is not necessarily to get BAFO ratings. Hey, this is public television, but it seems the numbers are promising. And by the way, if you miss any on Friday nights, just go to pbs.org. And one of the sentiments in Oren Jacoby's documentary is producers eventually discovered it was about the performers as much as about the shows. Well, it's hard to discuss Broadway without thinking of one of its greatest stars, who I found myself listening to at Lincoln Center's Library of the Performing Arts this past week. That would be 94-year-old Angela Lansbury, who was interviewed about her 75-year career. This was sponsored by the League of Professional Theater Women, part of its oral history project. Lansbury's career is obviously stellar. From movies, her first at the age of 17 was Gaslight. TV as Jessica Fletcher in the long-running comfort food known as Murder, She Wrote, but mostly as the beloved, and that is truly the appropriate word for this woman, star of stage Sweeney Todd, Mame, which she admitted was her favorite, Anyone Can Whistle, Gypsy, and more. Lansbury has earned Tonys, Emmys, Oscar nominations, Kennedy Center honors. She was even named a dame, which makes sense as she was born over there. She is warm and witty, though her memory is clearly challenged. What do you call it when you don't have to pay for college, she asked, referring to her first scholarship. She often needed to consult the happily willing audience to fill in the names of shows and performers who slipped her mind. So we didn't get a lot of juicy anecdotes. But then Lansbury has not a negative word to say about anyone, and apparently that is who she has always been. In Alexandra Jacobs' new biography of Elaine Stritch, she quotes her subject, who lost out many roles to Lansbury, as saying, I have a resentment about Angela Lansbury. I think she gets away with murder, but she's so effing nice. About Orson Welles, Lansbury said, he was his own person, but we hit it off as well as anyone could. Richard Burton, she said, was lovely, as long as you had a bottle of something to hand out. As for her acting process, she said, it is quite simple. I leave myself at home and enter the theater as a character I will become. Well, we won't be seeing Angela Lansbury any more productions, obviously, but she was preparing for reading The Importance of Being Earnest. Now, that is a trooper. Now, I did catch one show this week off-Broadway at 59 East 59. It manages to combine physics, specifically the theory of relativity, dreams, and music. While it is relatively, whoops, there's that word, easy to take 90 minutes, Einstein's Dreams, which is what it's called, feels like too much and too little at the same time. It's almost entirely sung through, and the music is rather repetitive, though the performers do a very nice job. I wish there were more spoken words to take us inside that man's brain, though someone does tell Einstein, one day you will be famous and no one will understand a thing you do. If you're a physics major, you will find some inaccuracies, apparently. But the overarching theme here is one we all deal with, that being time. The word must be used 100 times, oh, there it goes, and rhymed 100 ways. Dare I point out that more than a few viewers were checking their own watches? Still, I can see Einstein's Dreams being brought to theatrical life with a few more polishes. Now, finally, a bit of news. As you know, I've been predicting the next Broadway show to close would be Tootsie. Well, lo and behold, that was announced this past week. Now, I like this adaptation, but the Marquee Theater is so damn large and hard to fill on a regular basis, let alone feel a sense of intimacy with what's going on that stage. Losing the big Tonys, except for Best Actor, which ain't nothing, also hurt Tootsie's long-range plan. I interviewed the composer, David Yazbek, a while back, and I mentioned that I noticed half-price seats being sold for almost every performance. Yes, he said, but those were the usual summer doldrums, and he was sure it would pick up in the fall. Well, that didn't happen, but like virtually every Broadway musical, Jill, Tootsie will soon hit the road and hopefully find friendlier audiences and earn some of that money back.
So, we have talked in the past about theaters, and you take what you can get sort of theater.
Mm-hmm.
And for something like Tootsie, which was entertaining, raved about, well-reviewed, and certainly is an absolute classic comedy.
Yeah, old-fashioned. Uh-huh.
You would think, ergo entertaining, you would think that
size wouldn't matter.
Yes. And I don't know whether you would wait for it or you know wait for something that's more appropriate or not.
It's a good question. I'd like to ask somebody in the theater world, is that a first choice for? I guess the good news is if you have a big hit, you're selling more tickets.
Yeah, but we spend I shouldn't say yeah, but the bottom line though is we spend a fair amount. For example, hanging an exhibition, you know when you've gone to a good let's do art for a second. You know when you've gone to a good museum show,
right?
But you don't know why. You just know that that was good. And
right.
You assume simply because it was good and you learned something, you saw something different, that,
mm-hmm.
Well, and no one really thinks about what goes into installing it, essentially.
Hanging those pictures.
Yeah. And what you put next to which and why and how and, you know, it's not a chronological survey. It's
right.
Or it's like design, for example, you know, something either looks good. One of my huge bête noirs is now that screens have shrunk so much, people design signs for the road, for example, that are absolutely, I don't care if you're 11 years old, you have perfect eyesight, not you're not
right.
An ancient person. You can't see them.
Right,
you can't
right.
See what's being, just because people's vision, whatever, has become so compressed.
I know. And I don't know. I was trying to think of what other shows I'd seen at the Marquee. I think the last one was the Gloria Estefan show. And that had a couple good years there. A long time ago was Bernadette Peters and Annie Get Your Gun. They only do big musicals, obviously. And, you know, maybe not everybody feels that it doesn't feel comfortable when you're in there. Also, it's inside a big hotel. I mean, there's something about it. But, you know, listen, if this was the most successful, beloved play, if everybody was talking about, maybe if it had won the Tony for Best Musical, maybe it would have gotten the necessary hit. I don't know. I'm just saying, it doesn't necessarily hurt a show. I mean, you're not going to put the band's visit there. You know, it has to be a certain kind of show. It doesn't necessarily hurt a show, but if it has other issues, it's going to take a lot of people to fill that place up. But, you know, I feel bad. It's a good show, and it is going on the road. But those investors lost a good chunk of money. They did not come close to making their money for that one. So who knows? And who knows what's coming next? But it'll be interesting to see who goes into the marquee next. That I'm going to keep an eye on.
Right. And speaking of which, I saw a massive ad for The Music Man. Hugh Jackman and Sutton Foster.
Yeah, what theater is... Well, that's not going there.
And I just wondered what theater it was going into. And so in search of that, I went, and I have to say... They've got the most phenomenal... It's going to a Schubert Theater.
Okay.
That it does say, at a theater under management by Schubert. They have got the most... somebody really design savvy did that website, and I would strongly recommend that that be looked at, because that is the exact that's exactly what I'm talking about in terms of being, you know,
right,
perfect.
Well, yeah, I think they're handling that one. And people are buying tickets. I've had people say,
look,
"Hey, you have tickets from? Are you going to see Music Man?"
I will just say to you in your spare time. Go to musicmanonbroadway.com and have a look, because it is absolutely worth the brain cells and the eye.
And it's an interesting contrast. I will look at that. I want to contrast it to the new West Side Story that's starting in a few weeks. Previews. Those are the two big old musicals coming back with very. Well, Music Man's probably going to be done fairly traditionally, though my guess is they're going to make that Mary and the Librarian a little more, a little stronger character. But in terms of West Side Story, it's just the opposite. The ads are very mysterious and evocative. So they're going at it different ways. You know, my guess is one is come and have some old-fashioned fun, and the other is come and reimagine this one, you know. So
I always think, you know, when we talk, or when you mention reworking Mary and the Librarian, and does anybody remember Catherine the Great, Florence Nightingale, Joan of Arc? Joan of Arc got burnt up, so you know maybe not. But
yeah.
Cleopatra.
Yeah.
It's suddenly there. The women. This is not to say that there hasn't been massive subjugation. Harriet Tubman. There have been women who somehow managed to break through the suffering.
That's right.
And the people who know that are going to be dead soon. So it's just, it would be really helpful for a younger generation to recognize that, you have to overcome certain, it's, the road is not always paved
My guess is you can't, I'm sure that legally they can't change a word of The Music Man, but you know, Marion could probably be played. Well, Sutton Foster is going to do it, you know.
Exactly, and Sutton Foster is nothing if not. She is a really good, in my view, a really. That's a good choice.
Yeah, and you can deliver. You could be a librarian and yet be a strong. You could be a great librarian, and she will be.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio. RobinHoodRadio.com.